Thank you, sir. Luke chapter 11. And we could go back to verse 1 of Luke chapter 11. By the way, I'm still seeking God to answer my prayer about another series or what book of the Bible he would have me to go through. And for right now, it's pleased him not to give me that direction, but to go ahead and preach the things that he really speak to my heart. And one of those things that always challenges me is prayer. I know pastors that personally, they study very much for a sermon, but they don't hardly pray at all. They can tell you the Greek meanings of this word, the syntax of that statement. They know the history behind everything so well, and it's good to know. But I've always been the kind that, before I preach, that I like to be prayed up. That I would rather know the text and know the message through the teaching and help of the Holy Spirit more than opening my Greek interlinear, Barry's interlinear of Greek New Testament words and so on like that. I'd rather be in touch with God and have the sweet Holy Spirit use me when I preach than to know every jot and every tittle of a passage. Although I can do that too, and I believe it's important to know, I believe the message that God speaks to our hearts will reach our hearts. If he speaks to our lives, will reach our lives and change our lives. But a message that's just for your intellect, that never goes to your heart, that never reaches your life, I would rather reach your heart and reach your life than just inform you and teach you the mental things. I would rather, like Jonathan Edwards says, move your emotions and your feelings, because by those emotions, those feelings, those great truths that you actually feel, your life will change. And we have a lot of seminary professors that know a lot about the scripture. But there's a reason why preachers like me don't call them seminaries. We call them cemeteries, because though they reach the mind, it never moves the professor to go outside the walls of the school to tell anybody about Jesus. They never have a passion for the souls for whom Christ died. It's just dry, dusty teaching. And the message that goes just to the mind, yeah, that can inform the intellect. But you know that most people that hear the gospel miss heaven by 18 inches. And what I mean by that is they miss heaven by the difference between this and this. Christ isn't asking for a place in our minds. He's commanding us that he rule the heart. It was like this one guy taking an offering one time. I know who he is, but he said, it's time for the offering. And he said, it's time for us to give as to the Lord. And he said, so those of you that have brought your offerings, he said, I want to tell you this right now, that God not only wants your tithe, he wants all your money. God not only wants all your money, he wants the wallet that's holding that money. So God not only wants the wallet that's holding that money, he wants the pants that are holding that wallet. And God doesn't want that only, he wants the man that's wearing those pants. He says, most of all, God wants the heart of that man. Because if he has the heart, he has everything else. Amen. So Luke chapter 11, with the first part of it, talks about the disciples. And I want you to notice in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, then we'll skip down to verse 5. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, that it, now it came to pass. I love those words in the Bible, by the way. The Bible says those words time and time again. Remember these words when you're going through a trial, when you're going through suffering, when you're going through, you're under attack and people are misunderstanding you and slandering your name. Remember this phrase. Now it came to pass. Or in other words, say, this too shall pass. that time will come and go. And so now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, Jesus was praying, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Notice it doesn't say here, Lord, teach us how to pray. It says, Lord, teach us to pray. So we're going to see here, the how to pray comes first anyway, when it's the what we call the Lord's Prayer, which is just a model for prayer, a model for the followers of Christ to go by and kind of pray by that outline, verses 2 through 4. But to pray is the inspiration to pray. Lord, teach us not only how to pray, teach us to pray. For it's one thing to know how to pray, but you still don't pray. So teach us to pray. You know, there's all these, how would you say, recipes for prayer. You can go through the Christian bookstore and say, books about prayer and how to pray. The whole point of it, though, is just pray. Just talk to God from the bottom of your heart, from the meaning of your spirit. Talk to him like you normally are. You don't go to God in prayer and say the these and the thous and the therefores and so on. Be like Peter when he was walking on the sea, when Jesus had come to walk to me. And Peter steps out on the sea, then he sees the lightning crashing and the thunder roaring. And he starts to sink because he takes his eyes off of Jesus. And how did Peter pray? Lord, I come to you on this beautiful stormy night, thinking of the people in China. No, that's not what he did. Peter said, Lord, save me. And Jesus saved him. Now, wouldn't you rather say, Lord, save me and get saved than to glub, 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 sink in the sea? Because you want to say the right words. You want to have the right recipe. Just pray. Just talk to God. Just do it. Pray, pray, pray. You're thinking about things all the time. Why not be praying about those things you're thinking about? That person you're thinking about. That circumstance at work that you're thinking about. That burden, the pain that you feel. That need that you have. That bill you got to pay. Instead of thinking about it and stressing over it. Or wondering what you're going to do about it. Take it to God in prayer. For the Bible says that, what is it saying in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. So to always be praying is better than to know how to pray and not to pray. And a lot of people know how to pray that hardly spend any time alone with God doing business with him. So Luke chapter 11 and verse 5. And he, that is our Lord Jesus, now he's going to go and inspire us to pray. He's going to show us the true nature of real prayer. The true nature of real prayer here. Verse 5. And Jesus said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. All right, let's pray. Father, bless your word to our hearts now as we see what true prayer is all about, and help us to practice it, Lord. Help us not be merely hearers of the word and not doers, but be doers of your word and not merely hearers. And for that, Lord, it's not in our flesh, it's not in our nature to be people who walk with you in prayer. So your sweet Holy Spirit has to animate us. He has to encourage us. He has to enliven us. He has to put the sweet spirit of himself inside of us and cause us to pray and help us to consider things that really need the attention of God that are around us and in our lives. Our loved ones who don't know you as their Savior, our friends and co-workers who are going to go to hell, Lord, that we pray that you would lay them on our hearts and cause us to be concerned, to be consumed, to have your sweet Holy Spirit of prayer upon us. Lord, teach us to pray. In your sweet and holy name we ask it. Amen. Our Lord Jesus is the greatest teacher on prayer. Some wonderful books are written by R.A. Torrey, How to Pray, or E.M. Bounds on the Power Through Prayer. And those books, as you read them, they have the sweet unction of the Holy Spirit on those words, because you find yourself after a couple pages just wanting to pray. You'll find yourself crying out to God in prayer. These books have good Christian books that have the power of the Holy Spirit that come along with it, because the books are in agreement with the Word of God, are a great influence. But the Lord Jesus is the greatest teacher on prayer. He spent every waking moment in prayer, and many times he spent all night long in prayer to the Father. Now, if Jesus, who is sinless and pure and perfect and all-powerful, if he availed himself so much to prayer, how much more do we, who are frail, weak, sinful creatures, how much more do we need to pray? If Jesus was praying all the time, and it's like he said at the grave of Lazarus, he said, "Father, I know that you hear me always." In other words, what he's saying, he was constant in prayer. You hear me always, because always I'm talking to you. Always I'm in fellowship with you. Jesus walked the earth and said, "The works that you see me do, they're not mine, but my Father's works. The words that you hear me say are not my words, but my Father's who sent me." See, Jesus was constant, perfect fellowship with his Father in heaven. And the words we hear from him are the words of our Father in heaven. The works that he did describe and show the love, the compassion of the Father in heaven. Everyone he healed, everyone whose lives he touched, everyone he helped was a picture of the Father's love. If you want to know who the Father is, you have to look at his Son. To know Jesus is to know the Father. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." And then when Philip says to him in that same passage, Philip says, "Show us the Father and it's sufficient for us." Jesus said, "Have I been so long time with you, Philip, and you not know me? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." And so Jesus reveals to us the Godhead, who God is really like. And he himself is God as well. This parable on the nature of true prayer and the certainty of its answer. I want you to understand this, that we are to pray until we are heard. In the old days, we used to call it praying through. How many of you ever heard that phrase before, praying through? That means you prayed and sought God's face. You prayed and prayed. And then if you said, "Lord, is there something wrong? You're not answering me. If I'm wanting something that's wrong, change my wanter. Fashion my heart, move my spirit to pray according to your will. But Father, I believe this is your will. Please hear me." And you plead and you pray until something happened. You prayed through. What does that mean? God gave you his supernatural peace, that calm that only the Holy Spirit can give. Remember that as it's said in Philippians, where it says, "Be anxious for nothing." In other words, don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. What does supplication mean? Prayer and supplication. Supplication means really praying, fervently praying. But with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Remember Jesus said, "Pray believing and being thankful as though you've already received it." So everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, we're talking about that calm. We're talking about praying through. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You just know that he's going to answer prayer. You don't know exactly when, but he's letting you know the answer is on its way. I told you about my Aunt Jeannie that one time. I was staying with I was kind of their adopted kid. And I was staying with them in North Carolina where Jesus saved me. Sabrina just got back from North Carolina this last week. But North Carolina's very humid state, but it's very beautiful, and a lot of good churches there. But nevertheless, my Aunt Jeannie got a call. Mrs. Jones, Johnny's here in the hospital. He just had he's having heart trouble. And normally my Aunt Jeannie is the kind that worries and frets and stresses. And she got to, she said, I'll be there as soon as possible. As soon as she hung up the phone, you could see she was starting to stress. But then something very precious happened. God gave her his supernatural heavenly peace. I said, Mama Jeannie, you need me to go with you? No, Alan. God just told me everything's all right. God just spoke to my heart and everything's going to be okay. I even have time to put on some makeup and a little bit of lipstick. I have time to paint the barn. So then she went in perfect calm, knowing from God that he was okay. You know, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow me. And so that's what praying through it means. You take something to God that's a burden on your heart, and you pray and you pour it out to him, saying, God, only you can help me. Only you can move hearts. Only you can change these circumstances. Only you know my need. And you pray and pray. And then you know that you prayed through, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, without you psyching it up, without you power of positive thinking it in, this supernatural peace comes to you and says, everything's going to be okay, my child. The answer's on its way. Don't worry anymore. You don't have to fret anymore. I am the true and living God. Say, Bob Jones, I like this phrase he used to say back in the day. And I've taken it to myself, too, in my heart. Bob Jones said, I know that God is alive. I talked to him this morning. Everything's fine. Bob Jones said, I know God is real because I've knocked on heaven's door so many times when only he knew what I needed. And he opened the door. So many times God came to me and gave me peace and gave me what I prayed for that nobody else knew anything about. Therefore, I know he's the true and living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That great Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are real. And they hear and answer prayer. Pray. And then he would say, pray through. And praying through means you pray until you get that peace. So the lesson is persevere in prayer. Don't be discouraged, for God will certainly answer true prayer. And this is where we're going now. Why must we pray? Or why we must pray? We have many needs to be supplied. You know, a lot of time gives God leads us into circumstances. God leads us into these needs, or God gives us this trial. Because he wants to spend more time with us. Because he wants to show us that he hears and answers prayer. He wants us to know that he's intimately involved. You don't even have to pray out loud. He can read. He made your eyes. He can see you. He made your ears. He can hear you. He made your heart. He knows how you feel. And he made those desires within you because he, a lot of times, these desires that aren't carnal, these spiritual desires, because he wants to answer your prayer. He wants to lead you to pray because he already wants to give you something. We have many spiritual needs. Jesus has provided us everlasting forgiveness and mercy. But we still walk through this world and we need to be cleansed. And so the Bible tells us in 1 John that the Father has this great love towards us. And he's given us this fellowship with his Son. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us. That means continually cleanses us. And you look at 1 John 1:9, again, same chapter. It says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful. In other words, he'll do it every time. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. He's right to do it because Jesus paid the price for our sins. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means those things that we've said or thought that we've forgotten, maybe we not even realize they're sinful. But when we confess our sins, God says, I forgive them and I'm cleansing you from everything else too that you may not have realized. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need God's grace. We need His strength. How many of you need His assurance and His blessing? How many of you need His wisdom for decisions? How many of you need purity of mind and purity of heart because you're surrounded by people who are constantly saying ugly things or worldly things? How many of you need the Holy Spirit's help to make you faithful to pray? That's me. And you know, I pray every day, and like you, I pray over my meals and so on. But really, I'm at my happiest, and I feel my best when the Holy Spirit is pouring out my heart in prayer. When I'm talking to people just normally like I'm talking to you, but inside, I'm praying. You know the duck and the swan floating across the lake, they look so graceful and peaceful. But if you could see underneath the water, you'd see those little feet just kicking away. They're just moving smooth and everything without a care on the outside. But underneath, those little feet are paddling. And so to be constant in the spirit of prayer, wow, you know, that gives you such peace and calm. But it sets your heart on fire for the things of God. It's like a fire with a gold in the fire just burning away the dross, taking away the things that are not important in your mind. And focusing your heart on the things that you need from God and who God is and what He's doing in your life. I'm chasing too many rabbits. If you'll listen quick, I'll try to get through quick now. Okay, we need the Holy Spirit's help in making us faithful to pray, in helping us to read God's word more faithfully, to follow Jesus as we should. We need to lay hold of God's promises for all these needs. And if you look here in chapter 11, and verse 13, you'll notice this. Verse 13 of chapter 11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? That's who we need. That's our greatest need. It's the Holy Spirit to... if we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What is it to walk in the Spirit? Well, to keep the Scripture in our mind, of course. But it's to be praying and talking to Him, asking Him for His fullness, asking Him for His cleansing, asking Him for His power. Whenever any of you, after a service, or you say, well, that message was a blessing today. Well, it's because of the power of God's Word. But you need to realize that in my flesh, in my strength, I can't be a blessing. I depend on the Holy Spirit, and I pray to Him. I beg Him, Lord, speak to Your people's hearts. Meet their needs. Help me to preach. I've been preaching over 40 years now. Is it 1980? How many years is that now? I could do it in my flesh if I wanted to. I know how to speak. But I've never done it in my flesh yet. I've never come to a pulpit to preach a sermon depending on my wisdom. I've never, not once. I'm too scared. Because I know I'm so prone to mistakes. I know I'm so prone to foolishness. I know that without the Holy Spirit, I'm nothing. Like the Bible says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that gave the preaching on Pentecost power. The disciples were commanded, don't you say a word, don't you preach, till the sweet Holy Spirit comes down and empowers you. Remember, we need the Holy Spirit and for our daily lives. We have burdens that we need cared for. And the Bible says, God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. We must pray to God to see Him lift our burdens and cares. Sometimes we're carrying these burdens and cares so heavy. Like the verse we quoted earlier, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about a thing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Casting all your, 1 Peter, 5:7? 1 Peter 5:7, I think it is, says, casting all your care. And there are two times it uses the word care in this verse. casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. But they're two separate Greek words. It's not the same word behind both of them. So casting all your care is where we get our term anxieties, or like we call it in our modern day stress. Casting all your stress, casting all your anxieties on him, because then the second word for care is because he tenderly watches over you. He tenderly cares about you. Two different words for care there. Casting all your worries, all your stress, all your burdens on him, for he tenderly cares for you. He watches over you. And so it's a precious verse. But you know, we need to learn how to claim these promises in prayer. And once you learn how to start claiming God's promises, you're going to find promises all over the Bible. It's like God is holding out this beautiful, big, fat, juicy carrot in front of a horse, you know, us being the horses, trying to get us to follow him and pray to him in hopes that we receive. And of course we will. He's so kind that he takes the carrot and gives it to us. The man who came knocking at midnight in our passage, he came because he needed the blessing and the help from his friend to be a blessing to somebody else who came to him. Some of you are praying for other people. You're praying for your family. You're praying for a friend you work with. You're praying for family in other parts of the country or other parts of the world. And we need to have answers to prayer because people are depending on us to be a blessing and a help. You know the best thing I can do for you? The best thing I can do for you is walk with Jesus. That's the best I can. It's not my money. I don't have any right now. I will soon by God's grace. But the best thing I can do for you, it's not give you money or these other things. The best thing I can do for you is walk with Jesus. Be in touch with Jesus. Because then no matter what comes into your life, if I'm close to Christ and I find out my prayers for you have become fervent and effectual. And the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, one who walks with God, avails much. In other words, it's very powerful. The best thing I can do for you. And of course, I love you in Christ. But the best thing I can do for you is walk with God. And as I walk with God and I talk to him, I'm on praying ground. If I hear you're in an accident, what can I do? Repair your car? No. Can I make sure that your doctor bill is paid? No. But I can take you close to God and he can take care of the doctor bill. He can take care of the other things. He can send people your way. And if I talk to him, the Bible says, the man who walks with him, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk with him. That's what the Bible teaches. I like the verses too, like, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. I some people say, come to God with little things, you know, and they're mealy mouthed and they say, Lord, if it's your will, you can take care of this or whatever. Let me tell you something. Come to God with big dreams, with big hopes, with big wants. Come to him with all the small things too, and all your ways acknowledge him. But remember, God has said things like, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you can't even imagine. And Jesus said, if you come to him in faith, believing, you shall say to this mountain, be carried away and cast into the sea, and I'll do it for you. I had a roommate in college my freshman year. He was from McAllen, Texas. He was a Latino brother. And we were walking across the football field one time at school, and he said to me, Alan, brother, you believe God answers prayer? I said, oh yeah, I believe God answers prayer. And I used Billy Bob Jones' phrase. I said, I've knocked on his door so much when nobody else knew what I needed. And he answered me. I know he's alive. And he said to me, you say, you believe God can move mountains? I said, yes, only God can move mountains. I can't move mountains. Only God can move mountains. How many of you agree? Only God can move mountains. Amen. I tell you, only prayer can move God. Are you listening? Only God can move mountains, but only the heartfelt prayer, spirit-led prayers of his people can move God. There's so many things about prayer I'd like to say, but we're running out of time. Why we must pray? We have many needs to be supplied. Why must we pray? We have burdens we need cared for. Why must we pray? We have those around us who depend on us to be a blessing and a help. Why must we pray? We have needs that only God can meet. Look at this person here in Luke chapter 11. He had no one else he could go to. Verse 5. And Jesus said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And the custom was, and still is, in different parts of the world, that when you have a friend who has a need, who comes to you, that you do all that you can to meet that need. I've eaten bread in a Muslim's home. I think maybe Nathan did too. This man's name is Gaul. He understands about Christianity, but he's a Muslim. He still practices it. Not the jihad part, so you don't have to worry about losing your head. But he's not a full follower of the Quran, or we'd be dead. But the thing is that he invited me into his home. You need to understand this about Muslims. If you're invited into their home and you eat, you break bread with them. What they are telling you is this: I love you and I care about you so much that from this day forward, I am obligated to be your friend. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, no matter even if the police are chasing you, you will find shelter with me. You'll find food with me. If what you need is help, you need a car to use. If I have the car for you to use, it's yours. You bring it back when you're ready. They are telling you, you are my friend forever because you mean that much to me. I wish that Christians did have that principle more in our lives, where when we do consider somebody to be so special, we break bread with them, that no matter what, we're there for them. And especially there for them in prayer. You know, I've heard so many people over the years, Pastor, I'm praying for you, or Brother, I'm praying for you. But listen, don't say it unless you mean it. Don't say it unless you're praying for me. And I don't want to say it. A lot of times I'll tell you, I'll be praying for you, and I start right then because I don't want to be a liar. I don't want to be a hypocrite. Though we're smiling, we ought to be talking about the playoffs or something. At the same time, I'm praying for you. Because I don't want to be a liar. Amen? I want to be honest. So, if we say we're praying for somebody, you better be praying for them. God's listening. We have needs that only God can meet. This man, in this story of Jesus, he's telling us and teaching us to pray. There was no other place this man could go. It was after midnight. The markets were closed, and he had no money. He said, lend me, lend me. Amen. How many of you have been in that situation with no money? A lot of needs, a lot of bills, and no money. Lend me 3 loaves. And so there was only one place he could go to get bread, and that was his friend. You know what Bethlehem means, right? Or Bethany, the house of bread. And Bethlehem, I think, yeah, that's one of them. God is always bread. Everything's all right in our Father's house. You know, we're like the prodigal son saying, you know, when I was close to my father, he had everything. All my needs were met. And so let's move on here. Only one place he could go, and that was his friend. So there he went to ask. And like we said, only God can move mountains. Only prayer can move God. Amen. Ask and it shall be given. You seek and you shall find, our passage teaches us. And so why must we pray? Because it is this way. God teaches us to see and to seek everything from his hands. as you, God will use men. A lot of times he'll use other people to meet your need. I remember going to church as an assistant pastor many years ago in Phoenix, Arizona. And I didn't have the, you know, I just paid the rent. I didn't have money for food. I didn't have any money for really anything, not even gas. And I came out after church one night and I went to my car. And as I'm entering, doing the car, I noticed the back seat is filled up with brown paper bags. My car had been filled up with groceries. And as I got in, I said, well, all I need is some gas now, Lord. Turn the key. And guess what somebody had done? They gotten the keys somehow from Connie during the church service to do something. They took out my car, filled it with gas, and filled that thing with groceries. And here I am praying. I'm not telling anybody what I need. I'm not talking to anybody about it except Jesus. And there we go. So God is good. And a lot of times he'll use people. If I'm saying, Lord, I got this trouble with this cough, can the Lord use a doctor to help me? Can the Lord use medicine or the advice from somebody at a health food store to help me? Of course he can. He can use people. He can use books that you read. He can answer your prayer in many numbers of ways. But don't you just love it when he himself reaches his hand down and meets your need? I told you before, I owed tax money from my last year in college where I was working two jobs and taking a full load of classes. And the bill came in. It was like $1,061.28. And I started to worry. And I said, Lord, I don't want to worry about this, but I don't have the money. Please provide for me. God, please provide for me. And we had at our little apartment complex in Phoenix, it was like the kind of public for the apartments mailboxes where you had to have a key and your box was next to other people's boxes. I took my key, opened the thing up, and then there's an envelope. Just had my name and address in there. And I said, I hope it's not another bill under my breath. I opened it up. There was a check for $1,062.28. To the very penny of what I needed and what I'd been asking God for just earlier. So the same day I'm looking at a bill, I go to check my mailbox. To the penny, God showed me that he knew my needs before I knew my needs. God is good. I could tell you about the 2 years I spent in Brookings Harbor, Oregon. They were paying me $100 every 2 weeks. From that $100, I had to pay the utilities, the gas. I had to buy groceries, had to pay for the gas in my car insurance. Can I tell you how I did it? God, you see my needs. Do you know what? I received more in 1 month in answer to prayer than the church paid me the whole year. I've been asking him for that here in a way too, and a couple people know my need. I'm not asking you for anything. God will supply. He'll use people that know the need, or he'll take care of it himself. When he's not taking care of it in time, then I go to the second part. There's the ask, then the seek, figure it out. But then there's also the knock, like this man did here. Friend, please lend me 3 loaves. I have people that have come to me in their journey, and you know our custom, you know our culture, you know our tradition. I need to take care of them and give them a place to sleep for the night, and I need to feed them, but I don't have anything. Please, please let me not fail in what it means to be one of our people. Give me 3 loaves. Lend me 3 loaves. Notice what the rest of it says. Remember, he doesn't give it to him right away. We got to close here. He doesn't give it to him right away. What does he say? You know, we have bedrooms and stuff nowadays, but in the old days when the people were poor, they had one main room, and they slept in parts of that one main room. They usually had a place on the roof so they could cool off on the summer nights. And then it says, hey, don't bother me. Don't wake me up. Can't you see that I'm in my house? My kids are asleep. It's the middle of the night. Remember, it's midnight, about midnight there, right? said, go away. And he, did the man go away? Did the one who's praying and have the need go away? He said no. The scriptures say no. That friend will not give him because he cares so much, but because the importunity. And the importunity means he knows he won't give up. And Jesus goes into another parable where he talks about the unjust judge and the widow. And he knew that she would bother him every day. Judge, please avenge me of my adversary. Please avenge me of my adversary. And because he knew she wouldn't quit, he gave her everything she needed. And so let's be importunate in prayer. But he's teaching us a true nature of prayer. When it says, ask and it shall be given to you. I told you I know a little bit of Greek, right? It's in the linear sense. Ask means not one time. Ask means this. Ask and 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 ask. Seek, 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 seek. Knock, 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 knock. Notice how that whole thing describes the word prayer. Ask, seek, knock. A-S-K. Ask, seek, knock. That's what the whole meaning of prayer is. And so as we look at that and realize it's not just asking one time or seeking for a little bit, knocking one time. It means to do it until God answers your prayer. And then not only does it say ask and ask and ask, seek, seek and seek, knock, knock and knock, but it means ask and it shall be given to you. Given, 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 given to you. You will receive, receive, receive. You knock and it shall be opened, opened, opened to you. That the more we are constant in prayer, the more God will give us. You know, I told you about the lesson I learned from the ducks and the geese as well, Canadian geese. I went to a park and I had a half a loaf of bread. And they saw me get out of my car with a little plastic bag. The little ducks started coming up. They knew that boy's here to give us some food. And so I began to break up the bread and throw it to the ducks and stuff. But the ducks, especially the big white ones, you know, not very pretty outwardly, just in their normal casual clothes. They came up to me close, even stepping on my feet and quacking the loudest. They got the most. Not because they were the prettiest, not because they had the most fluid voices. In fact, yeah, they're almost hurting my ears, quacking so loud. But they got the most. And so it is that the one who prays the most gets the most. Not because you're more beautiful than others of God's children, but because you ask the most, which means you have the faith the most, which means you trust in him the most. One of my favorite verses of the Bible, and one of the most convicting ones, is Hebrews 11:6, which says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. How do we show our faith? By praying, by believing, by asking. It's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Maybe the reason we're not having answers to prayer, sometimes we're lacking faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we've come to the end of the message now, we're asking you, Lord, you can teach us to pray all you want to. We need to know how to pray, and we have your patterns for prayer. But Heavenly Father, what we really need is to pray. Not even to follow the recipe so much. It's just to talk to you, to run to you, to cry out to you, to send our little prayers like flaming arrows into heaven, to just take not even long times of prayer, but as we remember to pray and only have a little bit of time to pray and put our heart into it and send those arrows of prayer to heaven, that, Father, you will rain down your blessing on us. We pray that you would encourage us to pray. As David said, I love the Lord my God, for he hath heard my prayer. Lord, we know that as you hear and answer our prayers more, we're going to love you more. As we love you more, we're going to devote ourselves more to you. And the more we devote ourselves and pray to you, then the more you're going to cause us to love you, and the more you're going to give us answers to prayer. Lord, we pray that it would be like an avalanche, a snowball falling down a mountain, that you would begin in us that small work, that animation, that moving us to prayer, to make us stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger in prayer. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Going to receive our offering at this time. Brother Philip Simmons.